Today on your Healthiest Healthy podcast with Samantha Harris.
To me, fasting is an essential part of health. Like if you are giving your brain a rest overnight, you also have to give your gut a rest. Fasting is like exercise, right? You can run a marathon or you can go for a walk. Our brain-gut connection, it controls our mood, our ability to lose weight, our ability to be younger and fend off diseases.
Hey everyone, it's Samantha Harris. I'm an Emmy-winning journalist and TV host from shows like Dancing with the Stars and Entertainment Tonight. But a breast cancer diagnosis at age 40 changed everything. The wake-up call I didn't realize I needed. Now, a certified health coach and the author of a number one best-selling wellness book, I'm fiercely dedicated to guiding you to elevate your well-being in ways you may not have realized you could or even should. Don't worry, it's with small, manageable steps to mitigate chronic disease and live vibrantly with unparalleled energy. This is your Healthiest Healthy podcast. Your Healthiest Healthy community, we know how important our gut is. We understand that gut health is essential for optimal health. But what are some of those specifics that we can do to elevate our wellness even more to become your healthiest healthy possible? Well, today's live guest expert is a returning favorite of mine. She's really outdone herself because she's a double board certified MD and a wellness expert specializing in allergy and immunology, hormones and gut health, of course. She graduated magna cum laude from Cornell. So yeah, she's a smarty pants. So she received training at Cornell, at Harvard. Oh, and just to outdo herself, also at Columbia. She is a well-known expert when it comes to intermittent fasting for women. And she has a book that's wonderful. You want to check it out, called I'm So Effing Tired, A Proven Plan to Beat Burnout, Boost Your Energy, and Reclaim Your Life. And then she has a new book coming out. We're going to dive into some of the essentials in that as well, which is called I'm So Effing Hungry, which I know a lot of you are like, yes, we know. We crave what we crave and what to do about it, which is a great title. So without further ado, please welcome back to your Healthiest Healthy community, Dr. Amy Shaw. Hi.
Thank you so much for the intro. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I loved when you were here, and I know last time you were here, we talked about some of these things and we touched on different things, and I want to really dive a little bit deeper in. So first of all, you are known as the fasting MD. So let's just jump off there. Why is fasting really helpful to most people, most adults?
Yeah. So Samantha, it's like fasting is like exercise, right? You can run a marathon or you can go for a walk, but to say that no one should be doing fasting is like saying no one should be doing exercise. Like we would never say that. To me, fasting is an essential part of health. Like if you are giving your brain a rest overnight, you also have to give your gut a rest. Our brain-gut connection is one thing, and it controls our mood, our ability to lose weight, our ability to be younger, fend off diseases. So it's really important to be able to give that gut a break as well, to repair and renew, just like we give our brain a break. And so fasting to me is essential, and it's not a trend or a fad. It is, there's many different ways to do it. Like you don't have to do a 16-hour fast to be considered fasting. Really, thousands of years we've seen just kind of stop eating when it's dark out, or at least kind of tailor your eating so that it's mostly during the day and really low in the evening at night, and then fast overnight. And that's really a natural way to do it. And I think I came on to social media and I didn't realize how much misinformation there was out there about fasting. And so I kind of came on to say, hey, fasting's a million different things and there's so many benefits, all different types or dangers. But there's this like really essential one that's more like a walk in the park kind of analogy for exercise that is like just take a break from eating overnight. And that is the most essential part of it. Then you can expand as you want.
When it comes to the importance of intermittent fasting, you say take a break overnight at the very least. So most intermittent fasting experts, like you say, 12 hours, just go at least 12 hours. But what is really optimal for most adults?
Okay. Most adults will benefit with 2 to 3 hours of fasting before bed. So if you personalize it to yourself, go to bed at 10 o'clock, you should stop eating by 7 p.m. Really to optimize how much rest your body can get. So then from 7 p.m., you might not eat again until, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 13, 14 hours. That is a great fast. So what I do personally is on some days I'm doing 13, 14 hours. Some days I could push it. I feel good. I go for a workout. I might push it a little bit longer. And some days, for women who are in their menstrual period cycle, the PMS week is the week you might want to actually pull back, and maybe you're just doing 12 hours or not fasting at all. And so it doesn't have to be this daily thing. It can be something that you customize to yourself.
That's really interesting too, that, well, first of all, really important to know if you are fasting, to know your cycle, where you are in the cycle, because you do want to pull back, but also that it does not have to be a 7 day a week, 365 a year type of thing to gain benefits? Or is it more beneficial if this is something you do with consistency? Maybe you're on vacation and traveling and then it's a little bit off, but most of the time you're fasting to 13 to 16 hours a day and that's optimal. Or no, you're saying a couple days a week is all you really need to gain the same amount of benefits, which is correct.
Well, if you think about it, before we had microwaves, Uber Eats, and all these options late night, everyone was just fasting.
Right.
And it was the same. So modern technology has made it harder for us to fast. So if you're asking me what's the easiest thing to do, I would say easiest thing to do is pick a few days a week that you can fast, right? But what is the optimal thing to do is really think about how have we evolved and what are our genes and our cells wanting? They want a break every single night. It's just that, there's a Saturday night drinks, there's the, whatever it is. So modern life makes it really difficult to kind of mimic what it used to be. And so I say that you should try for 3 to 4 days a week, but if you can do at least a 12 to 14, 15 hour fast every night, that would be optimal.
Okay, every night. So that is the idea. And I would think too, just like anything when it comes to wellness, it's about the consistency. So the consistency of your workout, the consistency of your meditation or breath work practice. And then of course, in this case, the consistency of making sure that you are fasting as the regular, so that it's really the off time that you're not fasting, just to make it best for health is what in an ideal world.
Yeah, and again, I go back to exercise. You should be exercising 120 minutes a week, but could you get benefits from just starting with, 100 minutes a week or 90 minutes a week? Of course. And so that's how I feel about fasting. If you just said, hey, I'm just going to do 12 hours, you're still going to start to get benefits right from there.
Okay, fantastic. I want to segue to something else because you are also a specialist when it comes to our gut health. And we all think of gut health sometimes as, well, it's when I have that digestive issues or I have the bloating, but really you talk about a few more really important things that are signs of poor gut health. What would you say are the 5 top signs of poor gut health?
Yeah, it's very, very surprising, but gut health affects your energy levels. So fatigue is a big sign of poor gut health. Hormone imbalances is a big sign of poor gut health. And people don't realize your hormones and your gut, they're constantly talking to each other. And if you're suffering from hormone imbalances, most likely you're suffering from gut problems. So number 3 is bloating and constipation, like the traditional things that you think about with poor gut health. Number 4 is poor mood. So a lot of people don't realize this, but the bacteria in your gut actually produce your mood. And so you can basically be happy or sad based on your gut bacteria. And number 5 is inflammation. If you notice that you're just inflamed a lot, your joints are inflamed or your skin is inflamed, we detox through our gut. So people don't realize when they hear the word detox, they think you have to take something, but our body is meant to detox on its own, and our gut is one of the best ways to kind of get rid of all those toxins. And so if we're not doing that, you will notice a buildup. And people will say like, hey, I'm having lots of inflammation. And guess what? Inflammation is the basis of disease in this world, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, aging as we know it, that's all from inflammation.
Well, and you mentioned cancer. So what are some of the ways that we can feed our gut and healthify to reduce our risk of cancer? But I think also oftentimes the things that you do to reduce risk of cancer also just magically, awesomely reduce risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, neurodegenerative disorders. But let's focus on cancer for a moment. What are those foods that we want to make sure we're integrating to help support and mitigate risk? And then we can dive into the things that we all know sugar and processed food, but let's dive there too. Let's start with that. Things.
So just like that gut bacteria that I told you can modulate your mood, it also talks to your immune system. And our immune system is the one that attacks cancer cells that are popping up all over the place. And so we need a really healthy gut immune communication in order to fight off little, when cancer sprouts, it can be just one cell that your body is able to just get rid of right away. And what we don't talk enough about is that it's like an army. Our own army is our immune system. And then we have that gut bacteria that is actually bacteria. That's the biggest part of our army is that bacteria. And they have needs and they need to be fed. And they're being killed off left and right with our antibiotics in our world by the fact that we don't take care of that gut bacteria. That gut bacteria needs light, like nature, needs sleep, needs good food, just like we do. And that gut bacteria is your army to fight off cancer. So I think it's a great way to think like there's this world in there that's fighting cancer all the time. And we need to like support them. We need to give them their tools. We need to give them their food. And that's really like the basis of improving gut health to improve your risk of cancer. So we know that people who have really poor gut health have increased rates of cancer. We know that the gut bacteria can help you not only with prevention, but with treatment. So the things you can do.
Are all the vitamins you're taking actually what your body needs? Or are there others you should be taking but don't realize? What if your supplements got personal? Like tailor-made for your individual needs. See, I got totally fed up with buying a mishmash of random vitamins and other supplements I just assumed I might need because other people or social media influencers said I needed them. One size fits all doesn't work for anyone when it comes to what's best for our unique biology. So I got really excited when I found a simple tool backed by complex science and powered by a sophisticated algorithm that allows me to get personalized nutrition recommendations. It's called Meology, and it delivers these recommendations precisely for you, not people like you, for you, with more precision, more power, more patents, and more proof than any of the competition. Want to take the quick health assessment to see your personalized recommendations? It's free. Just go to tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha and take it for free. That's tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha. Before cancer and sitting in the makeup chair every day for my TV shoots, I had no idea how many carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, and neurotoxins were lurking in the beauty products being used on my face and body, and same with my at-home routine. After cancer and tons of research and vetting products and brands, I finally discovered one that became my absolute favorite, and it gives me the look and staying power I need without the toxic junk. Now I want to share it with you. It's called Crunchy, and they've set a new standard for cosmetic safety and are redefining the beauty industry where high performance, product safety, and sustainability meet for unprecedented cosmetic results. You no longer have to compromise your beauty for your health or your health for your beauty. Just visit crunchy.com/Samantha Harris. That's crunchy with an I, crunchy.com/Samantha Harris.
And support gut bacteria is eat for good gut health. For example, our gut bacteria love to eat fiber. So foods that have fiber, like fruits and vegetables and grains that are whole, they love that stuff. That's their food. And guess what? American food is like 70% devoid of fiber and is ultra processed in a way that actually hurts that gut bacteria. So like our army is increasingly being underfed and killed off, like the ones that are protecting us from all the other bad things. It's a shame that people don't understand this more.
Well, it is. And I mean, I guess that then lends it to the question, wow, we have a hard time feeding our gut what we need because we're so effing hungry all the time and we crave. And
yes.
So who's really controlling our gut, our own brain, or these mass food entities, these manufacturers? What,
I know.
Who's at fault here?
Yeah, it's really not our fault. Honestly, I feel like if you really just listen to your hunger signals and you take a child, for example, I have kids and it's like so clear to me. Of course, they want the orange candy, not the orange fruit, right? Like who wants to eat all that fiber and peel all that stuff? And like, they don't understand that that fiber is essential to that gut bacteria. And even adults don't realize that. So how could they? Of course they want the fruit flavored candy because that lights up your brain with sugar, and dopamine loves sugar in the most refined form. So if you think about sugar without, so oranges have sugar, but they have fiber, right? So it's like a slow drip of dopamine. Whereas when you eat a candy that is just pure sugar, your brain gets a burst, like a machine gun level of dopamine. And you ask, our brains are there to protect us from starvation. And so you ask a child which one they want and they intuitively will want the candy. And then they intuitively will learn to eat more of those foods that light up their brain. And it's not our fault. It's like the world we live in.
Well, and I think that's one of the hardest parts. And it goes back to that mice experiment where they had the cocaine or the sugar, and which one did they go to? They pointed to the sugar. And because it lights up the dopamine centers in our brain, how do we break that cycle? Look, it's hard enough. Again, my girls too. It's like, oh my gosh, mommy knows best and you don't want to listen to me. And it's very frustrating.
Yes.
And you don't want to let them undo the potential of their future health by what they're doing as choices as kids. Look, I had breast cancer. I ate like, you know what, as a kid. I ate the Burger King and the McDonald's and so much candy. I was addicted to candy because especially even in my 20s, it was fat free. If I went for the red vines with the red dye and the high fructose corn syrup and all the stuff, not realizing what I was doing to my body. Was it just because of how I ate that I got cancer? Probably not, but maybe a good portion of it. I was stressed.
Yeah, it's hard to like trace it back. Yeah, it's hard to know, you know, there's so many things at play, but we do know that ultra processed. So I want to define for you and the listeners and the watchers today, ultra processed foods is 70% of our grocery stores. Okay. And up to 70% of especially teens diet, maybe more. This is food that is absolutely linked to depression, absolutely linked to early death, and of all the inflammatory diseases, including cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. So what an ultra processed food is, a food with ingredients that could never be found in a kitchen. Very simple definition. If you take Doritos and you try to recreate it in your kitchen or any kitchen, even a culinary kitchen, you could not do that. But if you took a packaged food that was like, you know, three ingredients, oil, corn, and beans or something, you could recreate that. That's not ultra processed. So that's a definition of ultra processed food. So you can probably think of a ton of examples, even off the top of your head, Oreos, Doritos, Cheetos, like all of the foods that could never be made in a kitchen because they have chemicals in them that don't actually exist in kitchens, except for chemistry labs. Those are the foods that you really want to steer clear of. And I think that that's the hardest part, because I think what I started doing is like, oh, well, I might as well just make it at home, because when you look at the frozen meals, most of them are ultra processed.
Right. And tons of sodium, tons of sodium, way more than we ever need in a whole day.
100%. And it doesn't taste salty. It's just there to preserve it.
Right. Right, which is astounding. And I think that comes back to people want convenience, right? We want convenience. And I'm as guilty as the next person for wanting convenience, even though with all the knowledge I have, I want to cook every single day. And thank goodness, I don't know, where's my smoothie? There we go, right? Thank goodness for this thing, because in a blender, I can put together something that is so nutrient dense every day that at least I know I'm starting my day with lots of fiber, lots of polyphenols, lots of nutrient density. But as you know, dinner time comes around and we're working, we're juggling, as parents we're driving 20 different directions to get kids from A to B to Z. So what are some of your suggestions for either easy assembling of food versus making and creating a meal, or just other store-bought options that can be healthy for our gut and our longevity?
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. So anything you make at home, so anything like a pasta dish at home. I know it sounds like, well, how could pasta dish be healthier at home? But it really is, because what you're doing is you're putting in pasta, which is minimally processed. You know, hopefully you're not using Kraft mac and cheese. But even if you do, just, you know, it's still healthier to make it at home because of the other ingredients that you'll put in. So say you have a spaghetti, you boil it, you put a can of tomatoes, you put in a bunch of spices, and you make that. That meal itself took 5 minutes, but it's markedly healthier than a frozen pasta or a pasta you would buy at a store that has a lot of added ingredients. So even in a study where they looked at just the same meals, but one was restaurant and store-bought and one was made at home, the made at home automatically was markedly healthier. So even if you're just like, don't want to even think, but just want to make quick meals at home and you use real ingredients to make them, you're automatically healthier. And so that empowered me, because I'm not much of a cook, but I felt like, oh, well, if I could just put together a few things at home, like beans and corn and some veggies for my kids, and make like a burrito or, a taco bar or something, that took me 5, 10, 15 minutes to put together, but that was going to change the course of their day's intake of ultra processed food.
I think what you were mentioning before too, in terms of the ultra processed, is these companies, they hire scientists who understand how to mess with our dopamine centers, so that we do crave more, so that we do hit the bottom of the bag or the box or the bowl or whatever container we purchased it in. And we are all, I don't think there's probably one person watching, including me here sitting in this chair, who's ever been not guilty of finishing off something that you just go, why did I just do that? And so, because they are playing with the flavor palettes to be able to mess with us so much. So the more we do cook at home, the more we do. And when you brought up the pasta example, I think even there are, glass jarred pasta sauces that are, you look at the ingredients, read the ingredients, you guys, make sure you're understanding what's going into your home and into your body. And then you can see that, okay, there's no long, weird, convoluted ingredient that I've never heard of before that I can't actually go buy at the grocery store. Then you're probably safe, even if it's jarred or packaged. Is it right? Yeah. Would you agree with that, Amy?
Yeah. Like if you think about, a minimally processed dairy food would be like a yogurt or a milk or a nice fresh cheese, right? And then, but an ultra processed dairy food would be like a McDonald's ice cream. Like there's barely any dairy in there, but it contains a ton of other chemical ingredients that mimic dairy. So thinking of it like, hey, maybe I make them an ice cream or buy an ice cream that just has milk, cream, and sugar instead of going to a, fast food restaurant where the ingredients are like down the entire glass.
That's a great point. And I know that you are also a big fan of fermented foods. And I think I heard you say that you include something up to like 5 different fermented foods a day. I'm not even sure how that's possible, but I take your word for it. So what are some of the fermented foods that you eat, and why are they so important for our gut health?
I'll give you a secret about fermented foods. Okay. And the reason why they're so important for our gut health is that our gut bacteria that we talked about was so important, that army that is like feeding and communicating and helping our mood and our gut, our immune system and our hormones. They love fiber, but they also love fermented food, and they love polyphenols, like you mentioned, like berries and fruits and brightly colored vegetables. They love all that stuff. And fermented food is one of the strongest things that they love. Fermented food can be as easy as apple cider vinegar, like the unfiltered raw kind. Just add a capful to your salad dressing and there you go. You got one fermented food right there.
I wanted to ask actually, sorry to interject, but yeah. I keep apple cider vinegar in my fridge, especially while I'm actually wearing a constant glucose monitor right now. So yeah. When I am monitoring my glucose and what I've learned, we know that that's one of the hacks to lower your blood sugar levels. So I keep it in there if I know I'm going to have a pasta dinner or I'm going to have dessert after dinner that's not just my dark chocolate and I'm going for the cookies or some other junk process that's not so good, to try to help blunt it a little bit. But you're saying to add it in every day. I never know, is it a tablespoon in water is enough? Is less than that enough? Is more than that necessary?
Do you feel like you often put yourself at the bottom of the to-do list? Or self-care just barely means a hot bath, perhaps an occasional workout, or maybe a chair massage at the mall. How does this sound instead? Let's meet up for 4 days at a blissful sanctuary surrounded by stunning red rock mountains. It's perfect for those craving a break from the chaos of everyday life to get you back on the road to your healthiest healthy yet. And while we're together, you'll get personal coaching from me. We'll grab some epic hikes for all levels, eat delicious healthy meals together. You'll get pampered at the spa, enjoy yoga and invigorating fitness classes, all included at a spectacular resort in Utah. It's the wellness retreat you've been waiting for, but just haven't yet taken the time to gift yourself. It's transformational, restorative, and so much fun. So join me. It's my exclusive Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat, Utah, this October. I have limited spots for this ladies-only small group wellness getaway, so hurry and visit tinyurl.com/YHHretreats because it's the Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat. So that's tinyurl.com/YHHretreats. See you there.
How much do we need in a serving that's beneficial? And then how do we really need multiple servings a day?
Yeah. So for example, 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar would be considered one. Serving of yogurt. And I think that is that's like a 4 ounce serving is like 1 serving of fermented food right there. Like yogurt and apple cider vinegar are like 2 things that I always have, or I have a fermented cottage cheese, which is like a Nancy's and some good culture. They all have brands of cottage cheese that actually has probiotics in it.
Right. How do you know that they're still active? And also there's, the whole school of thought on no dairy is really that healthful for us.
So, to do with
this information sometimes.
It's too much information, right? Personalize it to yourself. I used to do no dairy. And I think that what I realized is that fermented dairy for me was fine. And so I do some cultured yogurt and some cultured cottage cheese that has probiotics in it, but I don't do conventional, milk and ice cream and all that stuff. And I think that that works for a lot of people, but you have to test yourself. There's no test out there that can tell you what your food sensitivities are. You have to take out dairy and gluten and soy and all the additives and take them out for a month and then add them back one by one to really know your sensitivities. Like, I know that I'm sensitive to gluten and dairy, and I know that I can only have it in small amounts. And so that's how I live, but everybody is different. Some people have a much higher level of sensitivity. Some people have celiac disease and they can't even have a touch of gluten in their food. So it's really has to be personalized.
Okay. So a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar would be considered a serving. A small 4-6 ounce serving of a yogurt or a cottage cheese. Again, making sure ideally it has some of those bacteria, but all the lactobacillus and the other wonderful probiotics. But automatically, and kefir is also another one. Those are automatically fermented, or because not all cottage cheese is fermented.
No. So in America, unfortunately, you can get yogurts and cottage cheeses that have been cultured with bacteria, but then they've been heat processed. And so all the bacteria is gone. So when you look at the back label, it has to say in America, you have to label if there is bacteria present. So it makes it easier for you to just look at the back and say, okay, this has bifidobacterium. This has just turn the yogurt around and make sure that there's active cultures in there.
So if it has active cultures, that means it, that equates with fermented?
Yeah. So fermented means that they not only had active cultures when they were making it, but it still contains probiotics in them. Their yogurts, like a commercial yogurt, sometimes what they do is they culture it in bacteria, but then they heat process it. So, but then it wouldn't be listed as live bacteria on the back.
Okay. So live bacteria will equate with being a fermented food.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Fermented means live bacteria. So back in the day when we didn't have refrigerators, we needed to find a way to preserve food. And so pickles and all kinds of foods were fermented, but now we can just throw them in the refrigerator. And so even pickles aren't fermented. So now you have to go to health food stores and go to the fermented section. And we're kind of going back in time.
Mm. And also too, when it comes to buying the kimchi or the sauerkraut, we always want to make sure it's refrigerated because we know if it's shelf stable, it doesn't have any live cultures, live yes. bacteria, fermentation that works still, right?
100%. And the problem with, most of our commercial like pickles and our vegetables that are pickled, like they never really had probiotic bacteria in them. So now you have to kind of read the back and really get some information, but it's not that hard now because now, as you know, like a lot of people have more awareness around it. And we're finding more kombuchas and kefirs and more options for fermented vegetables. I was so excited to go to my local grocery store and see a whole section of fermented foods.
Okay, that is really helpful too, that we have more access depending on, of course, where you live these days. And also there are some great online retailers that can send things to you freezer packed and ready to go to if you don't have that access within a short drive from your home. Before we run out of time, I know a lot of people are wondering, well, what does Dr. Amy eat in a day? So we know you already talked about you like to have some of that fermented cottage cheese or yogurt in the morning. And I think you throw some berries on that, right?
Yes.
Okay, what else?
So I usually start my day with a fasted workout. Like even if it's just a quick walk, I do something before I break my fast. And then I'll have a chai. I love chai because it has spices in it. And it's tea, and tea is really good for your gut. And the spices are really, really, spices are polyphenols and prebiotics, meaning they really feed that gut bacteria. So getting your spices in first thing in your drink is like such an easy way to do it. And then my cottage cheese, I have it with fruit. So I got those polyphenols, the fermented food right there. And then for lunch, I usually have a big salad or some kind of stewed veggies. I love to add lots of herbs and spices on it because there is more data now that the more types of food that you eat, plant foods that you eat, the better it is for your gut. So you're aiming for like 30 different types of foods a week. And that includes spices and herbs and, you know, all nuts and seeds. And so you can kind of mix it up with your salad. It's pretty easy. So I try to make my salad kind of something that includes a lot of different things.
When it comes to spices, what amount would actually be considered a serving to make it, you know, how many shakes do we have to do to make it count versus just like, I added the thyme, but was it really added, you know?
Yeah. So the 30 different plant foods was just taken by diet history. And so they would look at the ingredients of like, say something you made. And so it really is just kind of a shake of, so what I did, just to hack that is I got an organic Italian seasoning spice that has already the thyme, the rosemary, and all of like six different herbs. And so when I shake it, there's like six different things that are coming onto my scramble or my salad. So it makes it really easy. And I just alluded to my dinner is either a soup, a scramble or a salad. So I like it's called the four S's. I like to think about smoothie, soup, scramble. What's a fourth one? Wait, salad. And so you can have one of those and that basically makes up a really good meal choice. So I usually have one of those and I stop eating 2 to 3 hours before bed. I always have some dark chocolate before bed because that's my favorite thing. And I always like to have either a tea and some dark chocolate before I start my fast for the evening.
That is fantastic. And I love the idea of the soups and smoothies. Really think of it. The soup is essentially a smoothie for, you know, a warm meal. That's the bread after dinner, because you can get all those great nutrients into it that maybe you wouldn't eat on their own in that soup. And the scrambled gravy, whether it's a tofu or an egg, organic and pasture raised with your scrambles, right?
Love that. Yes, exactly. You can use, you can add any protein that you like. You can add black beans, tofu, or eggs, or any kind of lean, healthy fish or meat. And there you go.
And it's done and easy. And that's a great one. When I was talking about earlier question, the question about how can we assemble things that are easy? That's a great way. Just throw things into a skillet. And the idea of adding just some spices on top of your salad, I never really think of that. I never know, except for turmeric, which I always tend to add, but that's good to know, and pepper. All right. Well, Dr. Amy Shaw, the fasting MD. All right. You have to, again, we can look for her wonderful variety of books. The one that's already out, which is I'm So Effing Tired, and then the new one will be coming out soon. I'm So Effing Hungry. We really appreciate you being here and sharing your knowledge with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Thank you.
This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Samantha Harris, The King's Daughter, Inc., YourHealthiestHealthy.com, or Samantha-Harris.com, and its signatories, all known as Company, is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions provided by guest experts or hosts featured within a website or on this episode of Your Healthiest Healthy Podcast with Samantha Harris are their own, not those of Samantha Harris or the company. Accordingly, Samantha Harris and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on such information or opinions. This podcast is presented for exploratory purposes only. Published content is not intended to be used for preventing, diagnosing, or treating a specific illness. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Thank you.